Well, I said I wanted to make it up the stairs without tripping, so off to a good start. I was blessed to be born into a family who loved the Lord. My parents read the Bible daily, took me to church, taught me about God. Perhaps one of the most impactful things they did was model the value of the body of Christ, and they served the church very faithfully. I can't remember my life before Christ, and I am thankful for that. When I was 7, I made a profession of faith. I believed I was a sinner in need of a Savior and that Jesus had died on the cross for my sins. In the context in which I grew up, everyone professed to be a believer in Christ, and cultural Christianity was very thick. As a child, this was often quite confusing. I witnessed many people who claimed Christ, yet lived entirely how they pleased and destroyed their families, while others placed many legalistic, extra-biblical qualifiers for authentic Christian faith. The gospel is often emphasized for conversion as the entry point to the Christian life and then hardly mentioned again. The subtext was, God saved you and he did his part, and so now it's time to get to work and do your part. As a result, much of my Christian life became performative and hyper self-focused. I had a mental checklist of do's, don'ts, and my spiritual disciplines. I felt like I needed to be like continually getting better and having more and more victory over sin. I was checking things off the list. I felt God's pleasure. I often viewed him as a taskmaster who was impossible to please and often quite disappointed in me. If I fell into sin, I needed to try harder, find an accountability partner, lean harder into spiritual disciplines, and so on. I prided myself in doing what I should do, even if I didn't feel like it. And I approached my spiritual life much like I approached other achievements, like getting various degrees, jobs, internships. I measured my progress or my fruit with others, and either I was judgmental and prideful, or I felt highly unworthy. It just always seemed like I should be farther ahead, which then led me to question my standing before God. Was I even really saved? I often saw no evidence of myself and felt like a faker. It was really exhausting. There was no rest, no peace, no joy. Certainly no assurance, constant fear, dread, and doubt. It felt like a really, really heavy burden. Looking back, I see that I had a rather low view of God, and I lived my own version of the prosperity gospel. I read the Bible as though it was a self-help book written for and about me, rather than understanding the Bible as God's story and his promise to redeem a sin-broken people for himself. The stories in the Bible often served as examples to emulate, and I cherry-picked verses that would help me fix a certain problem or self-improved. I believed that if I tried hard and obeyed, God would keep me, and he would also bless me in ways that I wanted to be blessed. When I failed or my expectations were unmet, I made many poor, ungodly decisions. It was not until many, many years later, married, a mom of many small children, living overseas, I often found myself to be far more angry, impatient, frustrated, and discontent than I wanted to admit. I lacked both the desire and the discipline to be in the Word. I couldn't even make myself anymore. I often felt helpless in my present life and hopeless about the future because my eternal security still rested on my commitment, and I knew the faithlessness of my own heart. The harder I tried, the more often I failed, and I was just so weary of the burden. It was God's kindness to help me realize that I had nothing to offer him and that I needed the gospel every moment of every day. It was also his kindness that in every place that we lived, in Egypt, in Ecuador, in the United Arab Emirates, God blessed us with a church family and placed believers around us who loved, encouraged, served, and spoke truth to me. It was through my church family that I tasted God's love most deeply when I was most empty. At some point, God revealed that much of my life had been a lot of striving, much in the vein of Paul's letter to the Galatians. Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? I came to realize that I had trusted Christ to save me, but I didn't trust him to keep me. The truth is, regardless of my feelings or my performance, he holds me fast because my sanctification rests on the same foundation as my justification, union with Christ by faith. As Hebrews 10 says, he accomplished everything on the cross, one time for all time, and he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Not only was he crushed for my sin, but he lived the perfect life in my place that I could never live, no matter how hard I tried. Though my spirit is very much alive, my flesh is still so deeply corrupted that even on my best day, every thought, action, motive, word falls so short of his holy standard. Yet, God is pleased with me because his pleasure doesn't depend on what I do. It's because I'm in Christ and now clothed in his blood and his righteousness. I no longer obey to be kept. I walk by faith, so I obey. And that is a delight. When I finally understood that, Jesus' words in Matthew 11 came alive to me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The primary means God has consistently used in my life has been the preaching of the word and the gathering together of the saints, the body of Christ. Our church in Abu Dhabi in particular was a very sweet foretaste of heaven. And most of these dear people from places like Syria and Serbia, India, Nigeria, Kazakhstan, Ireland, Papua New Guinea, El Salvador, so many more. These brothers and sisters that God used so powerfully in my life, most likely I will not see again this side of heaven. Through this good gift of living overseas and God reforming my faith, my primary identity is no longer rooted in things like being an American or being a member of a political party or a church denomination, working in a certain job, the things I own, or even good things like being a wife and a mom. Rather, my identity is found in my allegiance is to Jesus Christ and to his church. As the song says, O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. Where I once viewed salvation as an escape from hell, as God has transformed me, now I long for the day when I'll finally be fully home. My sin nature will be eradicated. I will see him for who he is, and as one of the multitude from every nation, tribe, and tongue, will forever worship the one who was and is to come. Thank you.